faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is listed here as a spiritual fruit. If we have the Holy Spirit working within us and among us, then the Holy Spirit's producing faith in us and among us. And so that's why it's a fruit. The result of the Spirit working in our lives is faith, that we have faith. Strong defines faith as a belief with the predominant idea of trust or confidence, whether in God or in Christ, springing from faith in the same. Faith is a conviction and it's fidelity. Vine calls it a firm persuasion. We talk about faith, we talk about trust and assurance, where we have pledged ourselves and committed ourselves to something, and then we follow through on that and as faithfully and as we can. Paul wrote to the Ephesians, "For by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." Our salvation comes to us as a gift from God, freely given. The way we receive it is to believe it. We do have to accept that gift in order to experience it. It's given just as much whether we believe it or not, but how can we experience it and how can we grow in it and enjoy it if we don't open our heart and mind to accept it? And not just us, but our friends and our family and our enemies and their families. There has to be an opening of the heart and mind to accept and receive the gift. And I put meekness on there because that's what I was going to preach on today, but I'm not. I'm preaching on that next Sunday. So you can just be thinking about meekness for next Sunday. I just now noticed that was on the slide. Sorry about that. But I'm going to preach on faith today, and I'll preach on meekness next Sunday. But so faith is that gift from God, and it itself is a gift. In other words, our salvation is a gift. It comes to us by faith, but then, you know, we have to open our hearts and minds to receive it and have that confidence in God to receive it. But that too is a gift from God, the ability to do that. And so, you know, we don't really have to condemn anybody if they don't have faith, because God is giving them that. Anyway, they can't just go out and get it. It's not like something you can, you know, I like to go on Amazon, you know, for everything that I think I need, you know, then I go on there and the guy brings it over there in a couple of days. You can't go on Amazon and get faith. You can't go to Walmart or different stores. It's not something that you can conjure up within, you know. A lot of people try that. They just try repeating something over and over and making it. It's a gift that God gives us. All we can do is open our hearts and minds and then receive it as it comes, and God will shape this in our lives. So that's where we place whatever faith we have in Christ, like that mustard seed faith that plant that must. If you, Jesus said, if you have faith just like as tiny as a little tiny mustard seed, then it'll do great things. So whatever faith we have, make sure it's well placed. That's our decision and our choice, to place our confidence in Christ and let Him work within us, let His Spirit manifest faith within us. This passage that I began, the first verse as we started, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders are obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. And then he goes on and talks about all these things that people have done, starting with God himself, things that he did. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. And then it just goes on like that. It's God created the world by faith. And by faith, we understand that. And God created everything that exists through that substance of that is invisible of faith that God has and gives us and passes out to us. And then people begin from the beginning to act and live by faith. And it goes on, and I'll let you read that at home the rest of the chapter up till I'm going to pick up again on verse 32. Of all these things that people, examples of people in the Bible who lived by faith. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, and Samson, and Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. So Hebrews 11 recounts these many marvelous things that were done by faith. And we maybe have some imagery in our minds as we read that, of how it applies even today, even to the news, even to the things that are going on around us in the world. So God invites us to plant the seeds of faith, to be the gardeners that Terry was talking about with the children. We need to believe that God exists and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. We need to study and learn the tenets of our faith. Those tenets are not the faith itself. They're what teach us about faith. Those beliefs and doctrines that we have, and that all the churches have different slants on things and different ways of wording things, and maybe some different views that different people gather together with different ideas. Those ideas, those are not the faith. Those are the teachings that lead us to faith, that help us to discover our faith. And that support that they're the underpinnings of our faith that point us. The creeds, for example, we have all these creeds, and we've been using the one from St. John quite a bit, and we use the Apostles' Creed, but we have some others. They're all in a whole bunch of them in the hymnal there, and sometimes we do change them out too. And all these creeds that establish the ideas about faith in our minds where they take root and they grow. There's like some of the seeds taking root and growing in our hearts and minds. They're not the faith. They're the seeds that we sow and that we cultivate that help us to have faith. The teachings and the practices of the church through the ages, we need to study them. And all the things that the apostles have taught us, the things in the Bible, the things in church history, the things in that people have handed down to us for all these years. But they're not the faith itself. They're the result, and they're the seeds, and they're the teaching about the faith. They're the things that help bring us into this faith, which is that substance that things are made out of. That's what we're really looking for, is what all of this is pointing us to, is that we will have that invisible, substantive faith in our lives that we can use to do the things that God invites us and calls us to do, and apply that. And then, we continue planting those seeds by sharing our faith, discussing these principles with other people, and letting it shape us and them. not just trying to ram our beliefs down somebody's throat or let them do the same for us, but to share and to discover together and hopefully grow together and find new things out about faith and that we can live and apply in our lives. And contribute to others the ability to have confidence in God and each other and themselves. There's so many things that come against that that make it difficult to believe. We all have encountered those in our own lives, and we look around and, you know, sometimes the things that some people are going through, I marvel that they can have faith, that they can believe and have confidence, you know, when they're going through such things. So how can we help each other and going through things? Paul wrote to the Romans that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we can lend our faith through the word of God. We can cultivate the faith in our own lives, but we can share that with others when we share the word of God and help strengthen their faith. And when we see others having difficult times, you know, then we can lend our faith. We can support them with our faith when it's difficult for them to, when they're having a hard time accepting maybe some of the tenets, some of the things that people say or do, you know, in the Christian community. They might be finding that to be a stumbling block to their faith. We can help them with that. And personal tragedies that they're going through or world events that challenge our faith. We cultivate that faith by intentionally planning and working to do so. In Luke chapter 17, it said, "And the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you." See what he did? They said, help us have more faith. And in response, he told them, if you just have a little tiny bit of faith, you can do great things. That is a way of how he imparts faith to us today, not just to them, but by reminding us of the value of what that faith can do. He imparted faith by talking about it, by sharing it with them. He imparted it to them and to us today. And then by practically applying it to the things going on in our lives and the lives of people around us. I'm going to read this passage from James chapter 2. I'm going to read it from the Good News Translation. "My friends, what good is it for one of you to say that you have faith if your actions do not prove it? Can that faith save you? Suppose there are brothers and sisters who need clothes and don't have enough to eat. What good is there in your saying to them, 'God bless you and keep you warm and eat well,' if you don't give them the necessities of life? So it is with faith. If it is alone and includes no actions, then it is dead. But someone will say, 'One person has faith, another has actions.' My answer is, show me how anyone can have faith without actions. I will show you my faith by my actions. Do you believe that there is only one God? Good. The demons also believe and tremble with fear. You fool, do you want to be shown that faith without actions is useless? How was our ancestor Abraham put right with God? It was through his actions when he offered his son Isaac on the altar. Can't you see? His faith and his actions worked together. His faith was made perfect through his actions. And the scripture came true that said Abraham believed God, and because of his faith, God accepted him as righteous. And so Abraham was called God's friend. You see then that it is by our actions that we are put right with God, and not by our faith alone. It was the same with the prostitute Rahab. She was put right with God through her actions, by welcoming the Israelite spies and helping them to escape by a different road. So then, as the body without the spirit is dead, also faith without actions is dead. Well, that's a pretty good, that's pretty to the point, isn't it? About what that faith and putting it into action, and the true faith is not just what we subscribe to or ascribe to, what we believe in, and what our belief system is, our creeds and our things like that, but it's having that power within us to actually do something. As James brought out, to do something to help answer the prayers that we're praying. Do I see our part in that? If we have faith, then we have the confidence and the wherewithal to do what we believe in doing, what we think that we can. So we're invited to do that, to foster that environment and culture of faith around us. And then this faith becomes our treasure in heaven. The accomplishments of Christ and the apostles, saints through the ages, including our own lives, which have been worked through faith, our own work that we do, it all becomes a part of the treasure in heaven. And we can draw from that, and others can draw from that. So we're invited today to join with the faith community in every way that we can. There's a proverb that says in the Bible, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. We can find our place in the faith community and trust God enough to accept our calling, whatever it may be, and whatever they may be, because a lot of times it turns out, you know, we get shuffled around in the kingdom of God with different things that God invites us and calls us to do. And then wherever he places us, where he plants us, let us grow. Grow in our role, grow in the work that he gives us to do. And then let the faith of others around us kind of rub up on us and help us to grow and help us to be what God has called us to be. And then also to help others to do the same, others to come to the point of faith. Let our faith rub up on them and help them find their place in the faith community. And, you know, I think we could see that if we can encourage and support others and with the same confidence in God, that they could have that free gift and they can experience that free gift of salvation, then that would go a long way to solving a lot of these difficult problems of the world today, wouldn't it? If people could place their faith in Christ, and our part is to help them find faith, is to have faith ourselves and then help those around us to strengthen their faith and help those without faith to come into faith. Charles Wesley wrote this song that I'm going to close with its lyrics. Spirit of faith, come down, reveal the things of God, and make to us the Godhead known and witness with the blood. 'Tis thine the blood to apply, and give us eyes to see who did for every sinner die, hath surely died for me. No man can truly say that Jesus is the Lord unless thou take the veil away and breathe the living word. Then, only then, we feel our interest in his blood and cry with joy unspeakable, thou art my Lord, my God. Oh, that the world might know the all-atoning Lamb. Spirit of faith, descend and show the virtue of his name. The grace which all may find a saving power impart, and testify to all mankind, and speak in every heart. Inspire the living faith, which whosoever receive, the witness in themselves they have and consciously believe. The faith that conquers all, and doth the mountains move, and saves whoever on Jesus call, and perfects them in love. In the name of Jesus, amen.